Welcome to Feedback Friday. I'm your host, Jordan Harbinger. I'm here with producer Jason DeFilippo with special guests Dino and Bam Bam, who are in the studio today.
You might hear a few barks and whines in the background. I'm sorry about that, but we're recording late because it's a special episode for us for Feedback Friday, episode 101.
That's right.
After episode 100.
Which is pretty crazy, right? Like, that's... I can't even believe we've done that many episodes so far, and yet I also kind of can.
Do you have any idea how many miles you have booked on travel since we actually started this show in February? I mean, it's got to be hundreds of thousands of miles.
Yeah, it's really a lot. I've flown a lot. I've done over 100 other shows, appearances on other people's shows, well over 100. From home and traveling. We have already booked out the entire year. It is now September. We've already booked out the rest of the year for our guests here. We've got huge plans. We've got a product. We've got our live event coming up in the middle of November in Las Vegas for Advanced Human Dynamics, which is filling up really quick. We did a lot of stuff, man, since February.
We've been pretty busy. I moved across the entire country, set up an entire new studio in a new place in Los Angeles, which you just got to check out last week for week's Feedback Friday, which was fun. And we have been busting our butt for the last couple months. And I think that we should get a little pat on the back from ourselves for making this happen.
Yeah, I agree. And we're, you know, we had the old show try and stop us from doing the new show. They're still trying to do it. And we're just not doing that. We're not stopping. We're going to counter and destroy.
Ain't nobody stopping us.
Nope.
No.
So it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny to watch the old show go down in like a flame of ego and like watch this show take off with no strings attached, which is so nice.
Oh, man.
It's pretty
so
sweet.
So nice.
Yeah. Yes. And there's a lot more. We could talk about that more, but I think a lot of people just want to hear what's in the mailbag. This week, we had Todd Garner talking about how to make it in a cutthroat industry. And that was kind of near and dear. And Jason Calacanis, episode 100, talking about angel investing, what investors are looking for in founders, what founders should look for in investors, a rags to riches story, and of course, a story about coming back from destruction as well, which is also near and dear. And that was done live at Fireside Canada, which was a hell of a lot of fun. Doing live shows, man. I'm telling you, that's in my future too. Our primary mission is to pass along our guests and our experiences and insights to you. In other words, the real purpose of the show is to have conversations directly with you. That's what we're going to do today here on Feedback Friday. You can reach us at friday@jordanharbinger.com. Try to keep them concise. Y'all have been doing a really good job of that, by the way. It does really increase your chances that the question is going to get answered on the air. So y'all have done really well with that. And man, already episode 100. You're right. We deserve a pat on the back. There's something to that.
No, I'm really proud of the team and everybody coming together and sacrificing and just doing everything that we needed to do to get where we're at right now.
We had people working for free. We had people working for half pay. We had volunteers doing the worksheets for a long time. Thank you, guys. We busted our butts. We worked 7 days a week, a lot of us. We've really burned the candle at both ends. Loved not quite every minute of it, but loved most of it.
No doubt.
And there's just a lot more that we can do now that we have
a great team.
A great team.
We have a great team, and hopefully we'll get more of the old team back soon because we miss them.
All right, Jason, what's the first thing out of the mailbag?
Hey, Jordan, Jason, and the team. How do you deal with constant negativity when you are surrounded by it almost 24/7? I have a coworker and 50-50 business partner who's quite a negative person. Her personal life is a mess, and her favorite words are, "I can't." We've been together in this venture for 4 years, and although I can see some progress with her, it's not the progress I wish to see. I'm the type of a guy who's constantly progressing and developing. I love to read books, listen to podcasts, I work out. I'm visiting a therapist who's helping me with discovering myself and dealing with my past and stuff. The old amorphous stuff.
Ah, the stuff.
I decided to choose a lifestyle of personal development 7 years ago. I came a long way and I feel good about myself. The feeling that I'm moving forward and developing is like air to me, and I'm proud of it. I'm extremely allergic to the words "I can't," or "it's impossible," or "it can't be done." In my opinion, 97% of the time, these words are lame excuses because people don't want to move on or get out of their comfort zone, or they prefer to stay in a place or state that's familiar to them. Although in reality, they suffer, and sometimes you can see the suffering having a toll on their physical and mental health. I accept that certain people don't want to move on, and that's fine. But lately, I can't stand the people around me that I'm directly connected with. I love them dearly, but they're constantly searching for excuses not to move on. I have this weird feeling that they're holding me back. Often I remember the saying, "You're the average of five people you spend the most time with." And I get the shivers, because somewhere down in my heart, I know this is true. It makes me sad because I have three people that I hang out with, and two of them are negative. It makes me sad that I found myself in this kind of situation, but at the same time, I refuse to give up on people who are like family to me. After 5 days of spending working hours in the same office with my negative coworker, I get fatigued. On Friday, my girlfriend comes home because she works and lives in a different city, and I love her dearly. She's kind, loving, and gentle. But after the honeymoon phase ended, I start to see a similar pattern as my coworker. Everything is hard. Everything is bad. Life is a drag. People are taking advantage of her. She remembers only the bad news. You get the picture. I tried to help her, but she doesn't listen to my advice. I recommended she visit a therapist, but she doesn't believe that a therapist can help her. I can see how her past is holding her back today, but I just can't get through. In a way, I kind of gave up trying, because although the theme of her struggle may be different, the feeling of heaviness stays, and lately, I feel like our relationship became soaked with this low vibe. I'm tired. I love both my girlfriend and my coworker very much, but I'm wondering how much longer I can take it. Is this normal? Any advice will be much appreciated. Cheers. No more negative Nancys.
Yikes. Heavy duty. There's a lot there. My goodness. So first of all, you can't resist the influence of others around you, negative or positive, unfortunately. You just can't. It seeps in. I've talked about this before. I've given a million analogies, metaphors, and examples. So the other end of this is don't beat yourself up too much. I spent years around horrible negativity. People who didn't want to do the work, spent their lives talking smack about other people behind their back, including me, blaming others, complaining all the time, etc. I ran a business with people who've done a lot of this type of thing. So I feel your pain. If she won't see a therapist, even though she's miserable, she's going to drag you down. You can lead a horse to water. You know what I'm saying? You have no responsibility to put up with this. This is not normal human condition. I know you're asking yourself, are you the weird one? No. This sounds like depression, but also just a poor mindset of negativity. If these folks won't let you pull them up, you have to pull yourself out. This isn't just you if it's consistent. So here's a test to see if it's just you. See what other close friends think of these same people's attitude. If they also perceive these same people as negative, well, there's your answer. And the people you ask have to know those other people really well. They can't just be your friends where they're like, well, yeah, from all the smack you've talked, they seem really negative. Find people that know both of you or all of you. You have to draw boundaries for your own sanity. If you don't, you're going to end up in the same bucket of negativity as them, and you're going to go, how did I get here? I used to be so positive. It's going to be much harder for you to pull yourself out later down the line. So figure out what you need to do. Ask other people what they perceive the situation to be. And no matter what, you need to pull yourself out if you're not feeling good about it. That's just the way it is. I know it seems hard. I know you feel like you're leaving your friends. You're not being loyal. You can still be there for them without being around them 24/7 and sacrificing your own mental health. All right, next up.
Hey, Jordan and Jason. I'm 22 years old, living alone, and I'm pretty much at a point where I'm looking for what I want to do with my life. I also recently left a very professional security job of 2 years where expectations were high and morale was very low. I climbed the ladder for 4 years, and I was very proud of myself for a time. But even from the beginning, I couldn't shake the feeling that I wasn't invested in the job. Now I'm in this transition period, looking for ways to refocus my energy. I have a lot of ideas that I'm already looking into, and I believe I'm on the right path. Something I continue to come across through research is that I'm not aware of my surroundings as much as I should be. I consider myself to be an introvert, and I don't watch the news because I don't believe everything that is aired. Must watch Fox News a lot. I'm not on social media very much, and I'm not really involved in any groups or social gatherings, lest I waste valuable time that could be used elsewhere. My old boss used to always talk about how what you watch and what you listen to really affects you long term, and I take that to heart.
Smart man.
Yeah, very smart. So I've been building up a daily routine to work towards my goals, but I feel like I need some sort of news outlet so I know what's going on around me. Like, how else would I have known that sand is crucial to our society other than listening to your podcast? Trust me, my friend, nobody else would have known that. Very much appreciated, but how does one stumble upon something so rarely recognized? My question to you is, how do you keep yourself up to date with real-world issues, remove the noise, or work around it, and how do you decide what to focus on and when? Any advice for a young girl just trying to build herself would be much appreciated. Absolutely love the show. Can't say enough about how you've impacted my life. Thanks a bunch. Getting above the noise.
First of all, I love you. You're an overthinker. You're in good company. This is a great message, and it really made my day. So I thank you, Getting Above the Noise, for sending this in. I'm really glad we could help shape the course of your life. That's really freaking awesome, honestly. I'll tell you, I watch some programs like Vice News. They lean a little bit left, but they do longer formats.
A little bit.
But they do, look, they're like millennials doing the news, right? But they do longer format stories about important things while doing a quick run through of the important things that day. It is on HBO, though. If you don't have HBO, it's not going to help you. Another thing I do is I check Reddit's front page. A lot of it's junk. Some of it's funny. Some stuff is just cute or really interesting. But the big news stories of the day almost always are up there. And they'll also usually link to an article from a real news source, you know, like ABC or even Al Jazeera, something like that, that's explaining what's happening. And I find that a quick run through of this is a great way to stay connected without getting sucked into political drama, celebrity BS, or just a litany of depressing goings-on around the world that I can't do anything about, that are just fluff time. As you know, when I want to learn more about something, I tend to do a deep dive into it by reading a good book or 10 on the subject. And I do get why you feel a bit disconnected, because most people absorb news constantly. But you're right, it's largely a waste of time. A lot of times, look, I'm not a very up-to-date on everything that's happening, but since so much news is just a melodramatic, baloney garbage can used to fill airtime so they can sell ads, I don't really think I'm missing out on much. And honestly, you probably aren't either. I get it. There's a little bit of, gee, I should know more about what's going on. Here's to the low information diet, though. I think you don't need to know everything about everything. Big news stories will bubble their way up. You can ask friends that are news junkies what's going on. You do not have to spend that much time staying up to date. And cheers to the low information diet. I'm literally drinking, Jason, I'm drinking rosé in a can right now. I just noticed I'm drinking rosé in a can.
Oh my God, have you moved to a trailer park? What happened?
I can't tell if I'm a sorority girl, if I'm a Kardashian, or if I'm just like complete, I don't even know where I'm going with it. Rosé in a can.
Rosé, I didn't even know they made that.
I'm like a broke white girl.
Oh, God. Two Broke Jordans. That's the new show.
Two Broke Jordans.
So it's funny because we actually talked about doing a show together for a long time where I would come to you with the news of the day because I know all the news that's happening because for my other show, I read everything. I read thousands of articles a week. And you read nothing about the current events.
Right. I read shitloads of books, but I don't read news articles. I just never do.
Yeah, and we were going to do a show, like, what does Jordan know? It was going to be kind of like a game show where nobody won. But it was going to be one of those things because, yeah, you totally are on the low-information diet. And trust me, I would love to be on the low-information diet, but I have another show that requires me to be on the Metamucil information diet where I get everything.
You're so regular,
feed.
Jason. Yeah.
I am so regular. But I want to tell Getting Above the Noise one thing. If you really want to get into the news and have it filtered for your tastes, get an RSS reader. Like for Mac, there's one called Reader. It's R-E-E-D-E-R. And go to the websites that you agree with, because obviously there are some things that you don't agree with because you don't believe everything that's out there. And put those in your RSS feed, and when you wake up, have some coffee, and want to see the news of the day, you can scroll through them, just look at the headlines, and if you feel like looking at the entire article, you can click on it and read the entire article. But it just gives you headlines of the day from the different news sources that you are into.
But how do you get perspective from sources that you disagree with?
That's exactly where I was going, because there's this thing called the filter bubble where you can actually have an echo chamber of only seeing news sources that you agree with. So your worldview kind of collapses. And when you read all of those articles from the news sources that you select, then you have a filter bubble and you're only seeing the things that you have that reinforce your worldview, which is, you know, it's an echo chamber, and it grows and it grows and it grows. And that's a problem that we have with social media right now. So what I recommend and what I do is, for every one news source that you agree with, you add a news source that you disagree with. So as you're going through your news for the day, you can actually get up to speed on the news of the day and see differing opinions. And that will keep you balanced. But it's one of those things where you can control it. That's why an RSS reader is great. RSS is the unsung hero of the internet, but it does power podcasting, so we love them for that. Huh. And it can give you a perspective that you can control every day and, like, expand your mind. And, you know, if you wake up in the morning and you're like, I don't care about any of this crap, you can just hit mark all as read and move on. But if you have that desire to know what's going on around you, that is the best way that I think to do it.
Not bad. I dig it.
All right.
So that's sort of the high information diet with expert level filtering, whereas mine is like just ignore everything.
Exactly. Yeah. This is like surgical news. It's basically surgical news, because I read 5,000 articles a week, and they are all surgically placed from news outlets that I need to see. And if you really want to get the news, you have to have that balance. You cannot just have the source that believes everything that you believe, because that is going to make you a really, really strange person.
Yeah, well, you're just going to have that weirdo confirmation bias that a lot of people who only read one news source have, where they're like, I can't believe these darn liberals are like, Republicans are all racist. Like, that's those people only consume one or two sources that agree with their political worldview. So they're in shock that anybody would ever agree or consume anything else. And so that's why it seems like other people who have different beliefs are actually just completely unreasonable, other than just having different opinions or a more nuanced take on something. Because they only consume those extremist sort of sources. That's it.
This is Feedback Friday, and we'll be right back after this.
This episode is sponsored in part by Omigo Bidet. Jason didn't want to take part in this ad because he's like, I don't want water squirted on my bum. And yet, now I know what you're thinking. Wait, is this really an ad for a bidet? Is it April 1st? Is this some kind of joke? No, it's not. Omigo is, first of all, they get that it's kind of weird to shoot water at your butt after you go to the bathroom. So the packaging is fun. The marketing is really fun. I will admit I've got bidets on every toilet in my house except for one, because I know that the one that's in the guest area, people are like, nah, they're never going
to
use it.
That's the one that I go to when I stay at your house.
That's Jason's toilet. Look, this, first of all, you laugh. But you can adjust the water temperature, the position, the pressure, the width, the movement. It feels like you just took a shower instead of just like you smeared peanut butter on your arm. I won't go into more detail than that. It's got a heated seat, ladies and dudes, for that matter. You sit on a seat and you're like, oh, okay, this is an uncomfortability of life. No more. It's actually warmer than the rest of the house. There's a nightlight. It soft opens and closes. It will dry. It's got a dryer built in. It'll dry your bum. That's right. And it's remote controlled. So you don't have to reach around the seat trying to feel around for buttons. There's a remote you put next to it. I'm telling you, there's a deodorizer. It's a carbon filter. It eliminates odors. No more TP. You're saving trees. You're saving water. You're saving electricity. The U.S. alone uses like 36 million rolls of toilet paper in one day. I'm not making that up. 36 million rolls of toilet paper in one day. It's cleaner. It's safe. Don't worry about, you know, sanitation. I know what you're thinking. Ew. I'm telling you, try this. It's quick and easy. You can install it in 20 minutes. Get $100 off your order when you go to myomigo.com/Jordan. That's Omigo, O-M-I-G-O, omigo.com/Jordan. $100 off. The future seems weird at first. Just let it be weird. This episode is sponsored in part by Purple, my favorite color. Here's a question. How did you sleep last night? Did you spend the night tossing and turning? Were you dreaming about me the whole time? Probably. Anyway, stress, pain, not related to those dreams about me, I hope, can keep you up at night. And I, you know, before I used to wake up with a stiff neck, some people wake up with back pain. I've definitely spent way too much on mattresses in the past and had crap sleep. And sleep is really important. You can't be as productive. You can't be working out as hard at the gym. If you're struggling to get a good night's sleep, you got to try this Purple mattress. First of all, this company has experience. They've been in business for 30 years making lots of medical stuff. And in 2016, they decided to take a stab at the world's most scientific mattress. This is going to feel different than anything you've ever experienced because it uses this brand new material that was developed by an actual rocket scientist because, you know, rockets and mattresses are very similar. But really, it's not like the memory foam you're used to. It's not going to be super hot. It's firm and soft at the same time. It keeps everything supported while still feeling comfortable instead of like sweaty. And you get this kind of zero gravity feel, so it works for any sleeping position. You get a 100-night risk-free trial. If you're not fully satisfied, you can return this mattress for a full refund. It's backed by a 10-year warranty, free shipping, free returns, free in-home setup, and they'll even take your old stanky-ass bug-filled mattress and remove it for you. Jason, tell them more.
You're going to love Purple, and right now our listeners will get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. Just go to purple.com and use our promo code Jordan at checkout. That's purple.com, code Jordan. The only way to get this free pillow is to use the code Jordan at checkout. And if you didn't get it the first six times, purple.com, code Jordan. Thanks for listening and supporting the show. To learn more about our sponsors and get links to all the great discounts you just heard, visit jordanharbinger.com/advertisers. And if you'd be so kind, please drop us a nice rating and review in iTunes or your podcast player of choice. It really helps us out and helps build the show family. If you want some tips on how to do that, head on over to jordanharbinger.com/subscribe. Now let's hear some more of your questions here on Feedback Friday.
All right, next up then.
Hey guys, love the show. Keep doing what you're doing. We plan on it for a very long time, like I said before, until we die.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big, bulky guy, and I'm into strongman training. My friends say I'm calm and easygoing, but most of those same friends have told me when we first met, they were kind of afraid of me because of how I looked and that I always look serious or mad. This keeps happening when I meet new people. I've tried working on body language and my expression, but here's the twist. I have alopecia, so I have a bald head, which doesn't help matters, and no eyebrows is a good way to make just about anyone look creepy. Think Arnold in the first Terminator or the new Joker.
I thought alopecia just meant you went bald. I didn't know it meant you have no hair.
Yeah, I didn't know about the eyebrow thing. That was a new one.
That was new. I'm just like, oh my gosh, that is a good way to make people look creepy.
So since I'm not going to the Arrested Development route and get fake eyebrows, what should I do? Are there other ways to compensate with body language, or should I try doing something different with facial expressions? Any advice would be helpful. Thanks, Terminator Face.
Yeah, Terminator Face. I can totally see that. First off, I appreciate the Arrested Development reference. I think that show was amazing. I'm still sad it got canceled. So you've definitely got a situation here, but the good news is it's not that hard to look or appear a bit friendlier. First, yeah, different facial expressions, smile more, etc. Think the stereotype of a strong, scary guy. They're big and muscular. That's what you're into, so you can't do anything about that. Second, they don't smile. So you probably think you need to smile more, but I'll admit, that's a hard thing to remember. It's a tough habit for most guys anyway. So I'm not going to be like, smile more, because you're just going to look like that guy from Something About Mary when he got the fake teeth. You know what I'm talking about, Jason?
No, I don't know that one, but I think about Hamilton, where it's like, talk less, smile more.
Yeah, there's going to be some of that. It's just going to be unnatural. Third, and this is your best option, work on initiating conversation. So when you meet new people, be one of the first to ask questions and showcase curiosity. For example, you meet someone new, introduce yourself, ask someone where they're from or what brings them to that event or how they know the other people that they're with or how they introduce the person that introduced you, whatever. This type of rapport breaks tension very easily. It also gets people talking, and this will quickly show people that you're not some emotionless tough guy. You're a big dude with a regular, friendly personality. And believe it or not, I had to go through something very similar. I used to weigh 209 pounds. Bear in mind, I'm like 5'9", 5'10".
Oh, God. You're tiny little guy.
Well, I was like 10% body fat. I'm not talking about just like drank a lot of rosé in a can, you know?
Okay. I'm 250 and I'm 6 foot, but, you know.
Yeah. All right, fine. Well, I was jacked AF, man, because I figured being huge would help me get friends, respect, get some women. Instead, it got me some high blood pressure, got me some respect from meatheads, though. Scared away a lot of women because I was so obviously really insecure. You're not like this because you're actually into the training. I was just doing it to look tough, and it totally backfired. You know, I had some tough guy issues.
I think there's a Tinder filter for guys like you. It's like, oh, I'm jacked and I'm ready to go. I think it's a peck filter that like puts up a little warning for the women that says, warning, be careful.
Yeah, you just click, you uncheck the bro box and then you don't see guys like me anymore.
Oh, man.
And I think going the friendly route will have benefits beyond just being less intimidating. I think it'll place you into a leadership position, a leadership role in your circle of friends, which is actually a pretty fun place to be. So initiate those conversations. Going to take a little bit of work. If you need to, go take an improv class or something. Make yourself more accessible, more outgoing. When you initiate, people will start to lose. They'll shed that first impression of like, whoa, this looks like one of the bad guys from Double Dragon, you know?
Double Dragon?
Yeah.
You really rolled out the Double Dragon? Those guys were tiny.
Dude, remember the big dudes and they were wearing like cutoff jorts or they were wearing like bike pants and they had crop top haircuts? Remember?
I was on the other side of the fence, man. I worked for Mortal Kombat, so I was in Johnny Cage's camp.
But he had bike pants too.
He kind of did, yeah.
Not kind of. He literally had bike pants.
He literally had bike pants. But anyway, I used to work with a lot of wrestlers back in the day. And actually, back in the day, like 3 years ago,
yeah,
before I moved back here.
That's not the day.
It wasn't back in the day. Wrestlers are massive people. And they have this
super
same
into
issue.
Bike pants, too.
No, not my friends. They were not into
All
bike
right.
pants.
Fair
Come
enough.
On. But they had the same problems that you have with being big and just intimidating. You have the alopecia element, which actually adds on to it, which I think that you might want to accentuate and just like put it out at the beginning. It's just like, I had a barbecue this weekend and I put on too much.
Tell him he roasted
lighter
off
fluid.
His eyebrows.
Exactly. I put on too much lighter fluid and I burned off my eyebrows. And I'm sorry, but yeah, this is what happens when you put on too much lighter fluid. Anyway, there are ways that you can do an introduction with comedy that will put people at ease. And that's what everybody I knew in wrestling did. They were some of the funniest people because on their first introductions, they would have a line. They would just have a line that they would go up to new people and that would say, don't be afraid of me because I'm a cool guy. I'm funny. I just want to hang out and I want to chat. That's really like what they do. And these are professional people who have to do this all the time because they're doing this day in, day out and meeting thousands of people. And I think comedy is really a good way to just kind of break the ice and get people to lower their guard, and then they can find out who you are.
I bet you people don't even notice that he doesn't have eyebrows, because that's a really kind of low-key thing to be missing.
Oh, I bet not. But you know what it probably is? It's kind of one of those things where you look at somebody and you go, I'm missing something.
Right, yeah, totally.
What's
you're
going
like,
on?
What's,
yeah.
What is it that about him? And you're like, oh, it's because he's muscular. And it's like, oh, your brain sort of sees like, hey,
yeah.
He doesn't have any eyebrows, but you don't notice what it is.
I think comedy, though, would get him pretty far.
Oh, I agree. Hence the improv rec.
Exactly. I think you're completely right, Jordan.
All right. Next up.
Hi, guys. I have a friend who publishes self-written articles online. There are occasional grammar errors that should be corrected before going public. I'm happy to review the article before it goes out. What non-offending approach should I use to offer up my help? Signed, not as good as Grammar Girl, but close.
Ooh, that one has a crap ring to it.
This is all you, man.
Yeah.
This is all you.
Oof. So, this is interesting. I do want to know, why do you want to do this? It's nice of you. Don't get me wrong. The best way to offer unsolicited advice, though, is not to offer unsolicited advice, generally. Really. I mean, that's... I know that's not really what you want to hear, but that's the truth. Nobody really likes that. That said, I get that you're trying to save your friend the embarrassment of publishing something with errors in it. That's nice of you. Like I said, I would simply say, hey, man, I love what you're doing. I love what you're putting up online. I'm a huge grammar dork. I would totally be up for proofreading and nitpicking anything that might be off grammar-wise. I realize most people aren't even going to notice, but I figure it might be helpful. What do you think? So this self-deprecation in there, that will show that you're not trying to embarrass your friend. You're not trying to one-up them. You're not trying to degrade them in some way. It's a signal that you're just trying to be helpful. If they say yes, you're in business. The key here, though, is that you have to be okay with him saying no, and then just don't force the issue. And this seems like a really simple ask. I've got friends like Gabriel, head of editorial here at the Jordan Harbinger Show and Advanced Human Dynamics. They do all this for me all the time. I'm never offended. He's a writer. I'm not. I'm totally aware I make mistakes here and there. Writer friends of mine catch this all the time. It's just like Jason catching my flubs in the show. Feedback is part of the deal. You know, I'm speaking into a microphone. It's not going to be perfect. You're writing all the time. It's not going to be perfect. It's really not a big deal. I'm willing to bet the problem and worry is more in your head than anywhere else when asking this. I think this is a simple ask. Unless your friend is really sensitive about it, then just let it go. It's not your problem anyway. All right, next up.
Hello, Jordan, Jen, Jason, and the internet. I was wondering where to draw the line when it comes to people you don't really care to keep in contact with anymore. With reaching out to dormant networks, sometimes they were that way for a reason, or simply it was just non-reciprocal. Basically, is it worth pushing through and keeping even a surface-level relationship of just familiarity just in case? I've been of the mentality to keep the best relationships with those around you, but there are also somewhere around 8 billion people in the world, so why put up with and mend what's already not working out or hasn't? And instead, put a little of that energy instead into developing and reaching out to new people and having a good balance of both. Love all that you do. Call the herd or cultivate a new flock.
Call the herd. Did you add that in there from... That's some Far Cry shit in there.
Oh, call the herd is just... every time I see a Darwin Award winner, I'm like, calling the herd.
Call the herd.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, you don't really deserve to be here anymore.
Yeah, you're totally right here. You don't have to keep in touch with everybody. There are a lot of people in the world. You can try to re-engage people who fell off for no reason because of life. You know, oh, life happens. We didn't really try. You didn't try. They didn't try. Whatever. But if they weren't reciprocal or you don't really like them, then yeah, don't bother. If someone isn't nice, the relationship is one-sided, no big deal. Just cut them loose. I would say the reason we created Level One, which, by the way, is a sort of free course that I do on re-engaging ties, networking, advancedhumandynamics.com/level1 for those who want the tools to build and maintain relationships in just a few minutes a day. It's free. There's no excuses. It's really, I'm seeing huge results come out of this for people. People are getting dates, opportunities, jobs. It's really amazing to see. advancedhumandynamics.com/level1. You don't have to keep people in your life that you don't like. That wasn't the idea. I'm sorry if I didn't communicate that well enough. You can call the herd. This is a great way to keep in touch with weaker or dormant ties. But if someone's a weak tie because you're the only one that ever calls them and you don't really like them and you don't really get along, there's no reason to keep them in your network. So don't feel the pressure like you've got to have everybody in your orbit. I get that. You don't really have to keep everyone around all the time. In fact, I think that's kind of unhealthy to keep people around just for the sake of quote unquote networking. That's one of the reasons people don't like networking, because they feel like it's fake. You have to deal with people you don't like, and you don't. You really don't.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes people fall out of your life for a reason.
Often it's no reason, but sometimes you go, oh yeah, you're a pretentious jerk face, and you never call me, and you ask for favors and then never return them, and then you ghost. Those aren't people you need.
No, totally. I mean, that's why, I mean, I work in Hollywood. That happens every day.
Yeah.
So, don't feel that need to, like, just because you knew them once doesn't mean that you have to reconnect just because you knew them once.
Exactly. Yep. I have a sip of my rosé in a can. All right, next up.
Hey, Jordan and team. Congrats on all the success with your own show. Well, thank you very much.
Yes.
Y'all helped me out with some fantastic advice a while back regarding my job. Your advice has helped me greatly, and I thank you for it. I've recently decided that this particular job just isn't for me and started weighing my options. My first career aspirations and my passions were related to photography, writing, and teaching, but I gave these up due to the horrible teaching situation in Oklahoma and opted for a degree in accounting for more pay and stability. School is way more expensive now than it was when I graduated college, so I'm looking at trying out something like the Great Courses to refresh myself on photography and writing rather than getting another degree.
You mean thegreatcoursesplus.com/Jordan?
I think she meant thegreatcoursesplus.com/Jordan.
Oh, good. Okay.
I do believe that is thegreatcoursesplus.com/Jordan.
Indeed.
However, I'm concerned my resume won't even be considered when it's up against other candidates who have a degree. What suggestions do you have for someone without a degree to market themselves in a way that will help get past the resume gatekeeper and at least get me an interview? Thanks and keep up the fine work. Indecisive IRS agent - follow up. I remember her.
Yeah, me too.
No, she was, we tried. We tried with her, for sure.
We did. We did try indeed. We tried, and it seems like we may have kind of possibly succeeded. So I'm happy about that.
So, indecisive IRS agent, I have some bad news.
Yeah.
No one cares about photography degrees. I know because I have one. I was a photographer for a long time. I went through the curriculum twice and am an accredited photographer. But what it comes down to is your body of work. And unfortunately, photography is one of the industries that was completely decimated by the internet. Professional photography is really tough and cutthroat. The Chicago Sun-Times, one of the biggest newspapers in the country, doesn't even have a photography department anymore. Literally, they fired all their photographers and gave their reporters iPhones and said, just take pictures while you're there.
Wow. They're just like, hey, they don't have to be good photos. They just kind of have to be photos, sort of. So here's a freaking iPhone.
If you would like a comparison for that, go look at when the Cubs won the World Series. Look at the Chicago Tribune versus the Chicago Sun-Times for their homepage, or not homepage. It's my web brain into it, but their front page photos. The Chicago Tribune had a photographer on site and they made an amazing photo, and the Sun-Times had like the butts of everybody piling onto a pile. It was ridiculously bad. So, yeah, photography right now is really tough. And I have several friends who are professional photographers and have been shooting for 20 plus years. They literally can barely make ends meet. And they're absolutely amazing what they do. Some of them are Rolling Stone photographers. Some of them are catalog photographers. I've got portrait photographer friends. I lived in photography for most of my life. Even though I was in the tech world, I kept my toe in the photography world, and a lot of my friends do that. And it is an insanely difficult job to do nowadays because there's just no work because everybody thinks they can do it with their phone.
That's crazy. I can't believe that they got rid of all of the photographers. Wow. So
fired the entire staff.
Holy moly.
Entire staff in one day.
Well, that doesn't bode well. But what I will say is, even if you don't get a job in photography, or maybe you want to try doing that, that's fine. Get warm introductions to anybody you're trying to get a job with or for. Take informational interviews. And essentially what this is reaching out on places like LinkedIn or through other friends of yours and say, I want to ask about the job. I'd love to take you out for coffee. I'll come to your office, whatever. You ask them about the industry and the job that they have. You don't ask them for a job. In fact, you can even promise, I promise I'm not asking you for a job. I'm just curious about the industry. And a lot of people will meet with you. Degrees might be required for bigger corporations. I don't mean photography degrees, by the way. I mean just degrees in general because of policy. Many places will gladly hire based on experience. I think I echo Jason here. There are jobs there are few and far between, and a degree in photography or writing, not nearly as important as having a degree in general for any role that requires those, which you have already. You already have a degree. For this, employers will probably be more concerned with your portfolio, your body of work, than any degree. So get to work writing, get to work taking photos, get that all together. And that combo of connections and a body of work will do great for you. So happy for you, by the way, from the IRS to trying to live the dream. You're on your way, girl. Love it. I'm going to have my sip of my rosé in a can.
I also think, you know, go back to skill stacking. You want to be a photographer, a writer, and a teacher. So put all of those together into a package that you can sell, and that gives you a much better chance instead of just being a photographer in the long term.
Agree.
We'll be right back with more Feedback Friday right after this. This episode is also sponsored by HostGator. As the late George Carlin once said, a house is just a place for your stuff. So where do you live on the internet? Where do you keep all your stuff? The photos, the blog posts, the memes, the daily correspondence between you and your 2,000 closest friends, the order form for your ugly Christmas sweater knitting side hustle? If it's a free social media account, you're not even renting that house. You're squatting. It and all your stuff could be gone tomorrow if some bean counter at corporate decides to shut it down. So stop squatting. HostGator can get you set up with a website that'll keep your stuff safe forever. It's as good as owning your own home on the internet. It's not free, but it's so cheap it might as well be. And you don't even need technical skills. If you can post to Facebook, you can build a website at HostGator. That's why we recommend HostGator's website builder. HostGator allows you to choose from over 100 mobile-friendly templates so your site will look great on any device, smartphone, tablets, and desktops. And if you want to use WordPress for your site, it only takes one click. Add-on options are so plentiful, you can do so many things like integrate with PayPal to allow your customers to buy directly from your website or increase your search engine visibility without being an expert in SEO. You'll also get a guaranteed 99.9% uptime, and HostGator's support team is there to help you with any issues you experience 24/7, 365. So don't worry about all this break in the bank. HostGator is giving our wonderful listeners up to 62% off all packages for new users with a 45-day complete money-back guarantee. So go to HostGator.com/Jordan right now to sign up. That's HostGator.com/Jordan. This episode is sponsored in part by Wrangler. Everybody has a favorite pair of jeans, the pair that fits perfectly and always looks great. The pair you wear out at night, at home, on the couch, at work, wherever. They're the go-to. Do not underestimate their importance. And no one knows this better than Wrangler, the authority on jeans. Using their expertise in comfort and durability, Wrangler jeans are made for the adventurers, the go-getters, folks who like to keep moving. Whether you ride a bike, a bronc, or a skateboard, or if you're the type who walks the earth in search of something, these are the jeans for you. Classic or modern styles, a range of fits at a price that works for you, and vintage re-releases. Wrangler has something for everyone. Visit Wrangler.com and check out their great selection of jeans, shirts, pants, outerwear for men and women. New styles, great fits. Wrangler, real comfortable jeans. Thanks for listening and supporting the show. Your support of our advertisers is what keeps us on the air. To learn more and get links to all the great discounts you just heard, visit jordanharbinger.com/advertisers. And we also have an Alexa skill, so you can get inspirational and educational clips from the show in your daily briefing. Go to jordanharbinger.com/Alexa or search for Jordan Harbinger in the Alexa app. Now back to the show for the conclusion of Feedback Friday.
All right, next up.
Dear Jason and Jordan, I have a good friend who is always on her phone whenever we hang out. We go on adventures, out to eat, or just simply having a girl's night or day out, and the phone is in her hand all the time. She will always text and drive. Oh, that's not
good. Oh, super. It sucks. I hate that.
Yeah, she's one of the people who drives with their knee and texts with both hands.
Oh, my God.
I would not get in the car with that person.
She probably drinks rosé in a can.
She just might. It's extremely frustrating, and I'm genuinely worried about our safety. Of course, you should be. You should genuinely be worried about your safety. When I brought this to her attention recently, she said she was texting and driving because she was bored. We've been good friends for years, and I hate the thought of our friendship ending over this, but I can't think of anything that'll change her ways. Any advice you have is more than welcome. I know a lot of people struggle with others who are constantly on their phones, so hopefully this advice will help them as well. Sincerely, your fan from the East Coast. Get out of the car!
I cannot... This people who text and drive are the people that do that Kiki, do you love me dance. You know, have you seen this, Jason?
No.
That trend where they get out of the car, they open the door, and the person in the passenger seat is filming, and the car is rolling? You haven't seen this?
No. What?
Oh, my God. Where have you been? So people are busting out these dance moves where the passenger's filming them, the car is rolling, and the driver gets out with the door open and dances next to the car.
Okay, that's just stupid. That's just stupid.
I mean, just go on YouTube and look at all the people getting run over by their own car or falling in like hard face planting, or the door locks and they can't get in the car again because they did it by themselves and they're stupid. This is the epitome of dumb.
Remember recently when I just said culling the herd?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Darwin
that's culling the herd. Yeah, totally. Oh, instant karma. I think we call that as well.
Yes.
Wow, people do that?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for you to see it. You're going to love it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's right up your alley, man. So, yeah, first of all, so dangerous. WTF, man. What is going on here? That is not cool. You need to make her promise. She won't do that. Offer to drive. If she can't make that promise, you got to drive. That's it. That's all there is to it. Also, I think the heart-to-heart about phone addiction is probably in order. I've had friends say as much to me before back in the day, and it's a little sobering. I think it's also really necessary, and as a good friend, it is your duty to bring this up. Maybe include how your feelings are hurt. You must not be interesting enough, that she has to be on the phone all the time while you're out together, and see if you can make a pact not to use your phones at meals or when out and only post or chat during certain times. I've got friends who set their phone on the table, they set it face down, and they stack the phone on top of the one on top of the other. And whoever touches their phone first has to pay for the meal. And once the meal is over, we usually end up splitting or someone treats anyway. But it keeps people from gramming their food, texting during the meal, chatting with some people on Slack or WhatsApp or whatever. It's really great. It's great. It adds social pressure to the equation. Like if you touch your phone, it's like, oh, really? You're going to be the one who does that? And if she can't stop, look, she's addicted, man. You're not going to fix her. I hate to say this, but you got to find some friends who want to be with you in the moment. And definitely do not sit in the car with someone who's texting and driving. Ugh. Look at the number of fatalities for this. That should be enough to make that change. It is worse than being drunk and drive. It is worse than drinking rosé in a can and driving.
It definitely is. And maybe just go buy her a copy of 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Accounts Right Now from Jaron Lanier, because she definitely needs to do that, because
it's
ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
All right. Last but not least.
Hey, Triple J. Absolutely loving the show. I think it's one of the best in terms of self-growth and career development. You cover such a wide variety of topics, and it's quite refreshing. I have a couple of questions about young people generally. What guidance or advice do you give young people often? What is the number one thing that you wish young people understood today? Keep up the good work, learning from others. P.S. Triple J is a great radio station here in Australia.
Well, I'm going to hear it in October when I go to Australia, coming up in like 3 weeks. I'll tune into the Triple J.
Yeah, no, my buddy who had a number one song in Australia long back in the day, Andy Preboy, he had one number one song in Australia, and he kept sending me his radio bites, and they were all on Triple J, so that's pretty cool.
And I can imagine what an Australian radio guy sounds like. He's probably like, Triple J.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, they have that cool accent, but then you add the radio guy thing to it, and it's like, Australia's number one FM station. That's pretty shitty, but I don't care.
That's why you don't do voices.
That's why I don't do VO for Australian FM stations. Although I totally could. I totally could, as long as nobody Australian with a real Australian accent was ever going to hear it. So this is a tough one, because my number one regret is not having maintained relationships with people I knew when I was younger. But I also know that young people are like, I'm going to live forever, and they're never going to take really a lot of advice. And besides, when I was younger, Jason, we didn't have Facebook, we didn't have social media, we didn't have mobile phones, we didn't have contacts saved somewhere, which makes me feel hella old now.
Yep.
Now there's no
club.
Yeah, I know, right? Now there's no excuse, though. You can track the kids. If you're born in when Facebook existed, you can literally just add all of your friends from... Not even born when Facebook existed. You can add people from as old as you are when you're allowed to get Facebook, like high school, right? You just add everyone. And so now you can just add everyone from high school. There's no excuse. Opportunities will come at you unstoppably when you know more people. So you keep that circle engaged. You introduce people to others. That's been huge for me in the last 5 to 10 years. The last five, especially as I've ramped things up this year, especially as we had to start over. And I hate to sound like a broken record, but you can't really, you got to dig the well before you're thirsty. You can't make up for lost time. And that's, I lost a lot of time not doing this. So go grab level one, learn how to network, learn how to maintain relationships. AdvancedHumanDynamics.com/level1 is where that course is at. Other than networking and relationships, asking for what you want and what you need is very, very important. Part of that, we touched on that in our negotiation series with Alex Kutz. Make sure you go download those episodes. You listen good. And we'll link to those in the show notes as well. If you know how to negotiate and you're a great networker, you're just going to be so unstoppable. If you start in your 20s instead of your 30s, ugh, I wish. My goodness.
I would like to talk about mind reading. This is something we've covered recently on the show several times. And it's one of the things that I did when I was a kid. It's like I always assumed that I knew what everybody else was thinking. And then I made my decisions based on what I thought they were thinking. No, never worked out. So if I would go back to the kids, I would say, find out what people are thinking before you make a judgment decision. That's the one thing that I would change at when I was growing up. You know, ask people. Don't be afraid of what they're going to say, because if you think they're going to say what they're going to say, they're going to say it. So if they say something different, then bonus, jackpot. And that's the one thing that I would say. Don't think that you can be a mind reader, because you probably can't.
Is that like, you mean mind reading in like the sense where you go, nobody, they don't like me, they think I'm dumb, that kind of stuff?
Exactly. What we've talked about on Feedback Friday before, where people are like, oh, my family thinks that I need to come back home and they're waiting for me and they need me to come back home. And they might be like, oh, we have already rented your room, you know?
Yeah, we're so glad you don't live here anymore. Yeah, that.
Exactly. That kind of thing. It's just, it's taking what you think other people think and internalizing that as to what is a reality. And if you turn it around and just say, hey, what do you think about me doing something? It's just asking the question about what should I do here and taking the feedback and going from there. Sometimes they're going to be what you think they're going to say. But I think a lot of the time you're going to be surprised and your life trajectory can be completely changed based on what they reply with.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mind reading is a good one. That's a really good one to not do. So thanks for sharing that. I'm glad I threw that back to you. Recommendation of the week, Swiped, Hooking Up in the Digital Age. It features David Buss, who you're going to hear pretty soon. It's on HBO, and you can find the link in the show notes if you have the HBO. What it's about is how dating apps are affecting our lives, affecting our brain, a lot of the insider stuff. And I know what you're thinking. I'm married. I don't need to learn this. I thought it was interesting because I'm like, this is what the kids are doing? There's so much crazy stuff that happens as a result of Tinder, Bumble, all these apps, and what they're trying to solve has just created a different set of problems. So whether you're dating now and you're going, oh yeah, that's me, or whether you're over it, you're never going to date again, it's a really interesting insight. And David Buss, who is an expert on mating and evolutionary biology and psychology, talks about what this does to our brain. So it's called Swiped, Hooking Up in the Digital Age on HBO. Hope you all enjoyed the show. I just want to thank everyone that wrote in this week and has ever written in to Feedback Friday, has ever listened to one of the 100 episodes of the Jordan Harbinger Show, especially those fans that came with us from before and have been with us for the last decade. This is a nice new fresh start, you know, and we love you guys. I'm so grateful to have you with us. I'm so grateful to hear from you all the time. I just love it. Don't forget, you can email us friday@jordanharbinger.com to get your questions answered on the air. Happy to keep you anonymous, of course, as well. A link to the show notes for this episode can be found at jordanharbinger.com. Quick shout outs to Carol. It's her first month in law school in Chicago. She really enjoyed the Jonathan Haidt episode and the point about drawing a bigger circle around a small circle. And John Shantz shared the negotiation series with his son when he was relocating to a new city. He utilized the techniques from the show, got a significant bump over what was offered, and got some extra vacation days, which he can now spend with his dad. Nice. Exactly. Shout out to American Dream University. It's a charity I work with, helps veterans readjust to civilian life, get things moving for them, start some businesses. If you're looking for a good charity to support, check them out. AmericanDreamU.org. AmericanDreamU.org. What about you, Jason? You got a shout?
I wanted to throw a shout out to the Tony Hawk Foundation. We had Tony Hawk on the show in the other incarnation of the show, and they're still doing great work with bringing skate parks to low rent neighborhoods. And he's doing great stuff over there. And hopefully someday we'll have Tony Hawk back on the show. But I love the Tony Hawk Foundation. And if you want to, go over to TonyHawkFoundation.org and throw in a few bucks to get a skate park in your neighborhood, because it is proven to actually uplift your neighborhood.
That's funny. I didn't tell you that. You know what? You know who just emailed me today? Tony Hawk.
No way.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, Tony Hawk's people, they want to come back on the show. So
awesome.
So it's going to happen.
Awesome.
And then you can finally talk about skating and then let it go. How I missed it last time. Never let it go.
Oh, don't even get butthurt about that.
You're the one who's like, you didn't ask any of my questions. I did prep. You didn't ask any of my questions.
I spent 40 hours on prep on that, and you didn't ask any of my questions.
See?
You jerk.
See? Now who's butthurt? Well, we'll get it out there. We'll get it going.
Okay.
If you want to know how I manage to book all these great people, manage my relationships, have intros to Tony Hawk in my inbox, I use systems, I use tiny habits, I take a few minutes per day, check out our level one course. It's free. I've beaten this dead horse. I'm just going to tell you the URL is at advancedhumandynamics.com/level1. Don't put it off. You got to dig the well before you're thirsty. It's free. It's a few minutes a day. It's so easy. Don't sleep on this. AdvancedHumanDynamics.com/level1. AdvancedHumanDynamics.com/level1. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Jordan Harbinger. It's a great way to engage with the show. Jason, where can they find you?
They can find me over at jpd.me. That's where I post all my new blog posts about podcasting and things like that, and all my socials. And the other podcast, Grumpy Old Geeks, where I talk about a lot of things that we've talked about today on the show, about social networks and how they're destroying the world. Just go to gog.show to find out how to subscribe.
So keep sending in those questions to friday@jordanharbinger.com. Remember, try to keep them concise. Y'all been doing a great job of that. It really does increase the chance your question will get answered on the air. Share the show with those you love and even those you don't. Lots more great stuff in the pipeline. Here's to another 100/1,000 episodes. And we're excited to bring all this to you. We really love doing this. In your meantime, do your best to apply what you hear on the show so you can live what you listen. And we'll see you next time. Hey, if you like my show, you're going to love the producer's guide on Podcast One. Veteran Hollywood producer Todd Garner, who was on our show on Tuesday, pulls some strings, talked to some of the biggest names in the business, including the host of Survivor, Jeff Probst, the creator of the hit TV drama This Is Us, Dan Fogelman. Check out The Producer's Guide every Thursday on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite pods.